Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we are going to be going through Tesla's Q2 2022 earnings report. We'll also have an episode today for the earnings call that'll be later. That's at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. You can find the link for that down in the description. If you are tuning in not live afterwards, you can jump ahead to when the earnings report actually does come out. And for those of you that are joining live, thanks for joining. And we're gonna wait and sit here together, talk a little bit until the earnings report comes out. So we're about 3 minutes from market close right now. Tesla up about 0.75% at about $742 per share. Yet again, trailing the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ right now up about 1.6%. We've been trailing the NASDAQ most of this week. So should be interesting. It might be a little bit of coiling if Tesla does beat based on what we've seen so far this week. But yeah, we'll see. So while we wait for the market to close, just in case you did miss the preview episode yesterday, I thought I'd flip over to Excel and we can just kind of take a look at what to expect here briefly. Obviously not quite as in-depth as what we went through yesterday. But let me flip over to Excel and we'll take a look at what we're going to be looking at when we do get the numbers a little bit later on. So what we'll be doing is when we do get the report, I'll go through the letter. We'll see what kind of takeaways there are in there. Obviously, this quarter, the financials are just... I mean, that's the case for every quarter, but especially this quarter, the financials are just one part of the picture. We have a lot more to, you know, take away from what's going forward rather than the actual results here from Q2. But as we talked about, what I'm most curious to see will be basically this automotive gross margin X credit number. As we talk about, that's always one of the most important things. But this quarter, especially, there's a big disparity between my forecast, some of the other retail investor forecasts out there, where I'm at 29.1% automotive gross margin X credits versus 30% last quarter. But Wall Street has that dropping all the way down to 26.2%. So it's a pretty big drop. And, you know, the reason for that would be lower volume, ramping up Berlin and Texas. So it's not unreasonable, but I just think those are going to be a little bit less of hits, less significant of hits than what Wall Street is expecting. And I think Tesla... you know, is controlling their costs in the face of these rising raw materials and logistics costs periods of time that we're in right now. I think Tesla's cost control is a little bit underrated. So that's going to be a huge hint for us this quarter, especially as we think about Q3 and Q4. If we come in around analyst expectation, they won't really have to change their forecasts. I'd probably have to lower mine for the next couple of quarters. And then same thing vice versa. If we do come in a little bit higher, I would expect that Wall Street will be raising their consensus estimates for the second half of the year. And that will really, you know, go a long way in terms of shaping, you know, where the stock goes and everything like that after the earnings report. So we'll get those numbers, we'll fill them in, we'll see how they compared to my estimates, analyst consensus estimates. I may say like Tesla missed or Tesla beat. People always like hound me for that. That's just, it's just in terms of expectations. It doesn't mean that if Tesla misses my expectations that Tesla somehow failed or anything like that. It's just a way to communicate. So, you know, I'll try to say like I was too high rather than Tesla too low, but that always happens. So it's again, don't read too much into that language, especially on kind of like a live stream type of environment. In general, I agree that yes, it should be framed that way. I'm just saying that it might not always come out that way. So the big thing to keep an eye on other than automotive gross margin. So like I talked about yesterday, even though earnings per share estimates are pretty close here, we do have a really, really large disparity on operating expense forecasts because I believe that for the most part, analysts are not including the Bitcoin impairment, which does hit operating expenses. So, you know, I'm $300 million higher, and I think, you know, I've got $500 million in here roughly for Bitcoin. I think I'd be, you know, even lower on operating expense than they are without Bitcoin. So even though our final numbers look pretty close, it just... you know, they're really not. And that's why we go through the level of detail that we do here to really understand the business, to really understand these numbers as we get them. And just, you know, going through this process helps us all learn about the business too. So, all right, we are now at market close. Let's see where we ended up and we'll start our furious F5-ing or command R-ing to refresh the investor page. All right, so it looks like we are just closed. Nothing happening quite yet. Usually it takes, you know, 5-10 minutes. Could take half an hour and we might be hanging out and chatting for a little bit. But they're usually pretty prompt with getting that release out the last few quarters. Sometimes we get our first hint of that with some big change in the stock price. Let me pull up the browser here. Sorry about that. Yeah, sometimes we get a big hint when you see some dramatic moves in the after-hours session, but oftentimes, you know, we're just going to have to kind of wait. So while we're doing that, good reminder, go in and vote for your vote your shares for the annual shareholder meeting if you haven't done that. It only takes a couple of minutes. Tesla's got a nice little guide here for each brokerage, you know, how to go in and do that. So they make it pretty simple. But where we're going to get the release here would be under the shareholder deck for Q2 for on the IR pages, ir.tesla.com, if you want to follow along on that. And again, it probably will still be a few minutes. We'll check in on what's going on Twitter, see if there's anyone that happened to find the report yet. Sometimes I think the SEC filing comes out before Tesla actually gets it up on their page. I'm sure we'll see a lot of interesting stuff here on the Twitter feed, but... And then I'll take a look, too, at the comments. I think we got a couple of super chats, which I really do appreciate that. Helps keep things going. How many people we got in the stream? I can't actually see it on my end. Someone's saying it's out. Someone's saying it's not out. Please don't troll me. I can't take it. I don't have the capacity. So remember, even though Wall Street consensus is at like $1.77 for non-GAAP earnings per share, if you were to include Bitcoin, the real actual consensus would be somewhere around, you know, $1, probably $1.35 or so, something in that vicinity. So really anything above $1.35, if we include the Bitcoin impairment, which is obviously going to happen unless Tesla happened to sell their Bitcoin, which seems unlikely, then, you know, anything above $1.35 should be viewed as a beat. All right, so we're up 1.5%. Did something happen here? Furiously refreshing. People are saying it's out, but I don't know what's happening. Only up 1%. Sometimes it does actually jump a little bit before it's actually out. Just like some head fakes with algorithms or something. Yeah, now it's up 0.5%. Rob, the deck is out. It's not out for me yet. Classic. Thank you for tagging me in those. There we go. All right, let's get into it. See what we got here. 14.6 operating margin. I already know that beats mine by 2%. So that is very exciting. Right off the bat, auto gross margin, total graphic gross margin looks a little bit lower. Revenues are higher. So operating expenses super low. That means that maybe Tesla did end up selling their Bitcoin here. Let's see what happened. This is very interesting. Operating income improved. Increased ASP. Negative Bitcoin impairment. Well, this is a bit of a head scratcher. We're going to have to take some time to figure this one out. But let's start with the summary here. So continue to make significant progress across the business during the second quarter. Though we faced certain challenges, including limited production and shutdowns in Shanghai for the majority of the quarter, we achieved an operating margin among the highest in the industry of 14.6%, positive free cash flow of $620 million, and ended the quarter with the highest vehicle production month in our history. New factories in Berlin and Brandenburg and Austin continue to ramp in Q2. Berlin reached an important milestone of over 1,000 cars a week in a single quarter. Notable omission from not saying that Austin did that either, even though that we did have a report of, you know, higher rates than that. From our Austin factory, the first vehicles of 4680 were delivered, continue to maximize production capacity. Energy business made meaningful progress in Q2 as well, so it's exciting. Higher unit volume economics, this resulted in an overall record gross profit. Strong interest in our storage products remains, or customer interest in our storage product remains strong, well above our production rate. With each of the Fremont and Shanghai factories achieving their highest ever production month and new factory growth, we are focused on a record-breaking second half of 2022. So now that we've digested just a little bit of that, it looks like Tesla's up 3%. Nice little green candle there. And let's continue on through the letter. So Regulatory credits came in pretty much in line with expectations, so it looks like a lot of this beat being driven by the top line, higher automotive revenues, excluding credits, which is good, and then lower operating expenses, which again, we're just going to have to dig into that. This is, you know, what, $600 million less than what I expected. So it'll be interesting to see how Tesla pulled that off, especially with that, you know, Bitcoin impairment being listed. I gotta feel like there's something going on with the Bitcoin in there. Right, so revenue growth, growth in vehicle deliveries, increased average selling price, growth in other parts of the business, all kind of expected. Did they have energy margins up here or revenue? No, okay. We'll get to that in a minute. Operating income improved, 14.6 operating margin, which, I mean, again, we have to see what's going on there, but that is potentially very, very good news for Tesla. Increased average selling price, vehicle deliveries, growth in other parts of the business, lower stock-based compensation expense. Some of that would be CEO related. Negative cost impacts would be raw materials, commodities, logistics. Talked about all of those. Fixed unit costs in Shanghai, negative FX impact. So yeah, we talked about all those things, Bitcoin impairment in the preview. Cash. We've converted. Okay, there it is. Yep. I knew something was going on there. And there it is. As of the end of Q2, we've converted approximately 75% of our Bitcoin purchases into fiat currency. Conversions in Q2 added $936 million of cash to our balance sheet. So the Bitcoin impairment is the big difference here. I think Wall Street lucked out. Maybe they knew Tesla was selling it. I don't know. But I think Wall Street kind of lucked out on their forecasts with that. But interesting. So Tesla, very small stake now in Bitcoin, probably a couple $100 million left in terms of the carrying value. All right, production deliveries actually did not increase at all. So Tesla now getting that locked in immediately. This used to increase by like 40 or 50 or even a couple hundred. Days of inventory, we didn't really talk too much about that, but no surprise on that being pretty low. Ooh, solar deployments, 106 megawatts. So that's really exciting. That's going to be a record back to 2018 or 2017, I think, just off the top of my head. So really good to see a bit of a rebound there in solar, especially from the down number in Q1. I mean, maybe there was some projects that got delayed, but we did have that report from Electrek talking about how there was the record installs for U.S. rooftop solar in the first quarter, or in the second quarter. Storage service continues to grow, superchargers growing, yeah, all that stuff's good. Oh, Tesla finally increased their their lowballing of the Shanghai capacity. This used to say, I think, 450,000. They may have increased the production rate capacity or installed capacity on California too for Fremont. Berlin and Texas, both greater than 250,000. Not sure if they had listed that out before, but yeah, obviously, like, you know, one line at each would be hitting that. All right, so let's see what they say here. Achieved record production rates across the company. Manufacturing challenges, supply chain disruptions. Yep, all stuff we've talked about. Fremont factory made a record number of vehicles in Q2. We see opportunities, which we knew. We see opportunities for further production rate improvements. That's good. Texas, we added flexibility for the legacy battery pack. Next generation of 4680 battery cell machinery has been installed in Texas and is in the process of commissioning. Factory output in Texas continues to grow. All right, so 4680 machinery installed, but not necessarily making any 4680s yet. Shanghai was shut down fully, then partially for the majority of Q2. We ended the quarter with record monthly production level. Recent equipment upgrades will enable us to continue to increase our production rate further. All stuff we've talked about there. Hit 1,000 Model Ys in a week using 2170 cells. Expect production rate to continue improving through the rest of the year. All right. Not to overlook this chart. It's one of the, you know, best charts that we get from Tesla. Market share following that nice little S curve up. Obviously, a little bit of a decline there in the curve in Europe and China due to Shanghai shutdown. All right, autopilot, over 100,000 vehicles on FSD beta. Elon had previously said that cumulative miles driven by our customer using city street supervised autonomy continues to grow at an unprecedented scale. Fleet data is an important part of improving and expanding the system. Recently relaunched enhanced autopilot for those customers. Okay, nothing new there. Adaptive suspension before encountering a rough road. I think we've talked about on the podcast, but that report did come out a couple weeks back. Vehicles. Tesla Vision tightened seatbelts earlier in a wide array of frontal crashes. I think Tesla put a video out on that we've talked about as well. Okay, nothing too crazy in that. Let's see what this is. Body shop robot per unit of manufacturing capacity. So a nice little chart of the reduction in number of robots, which we've seen on, you know, the GigaFest Science, the Cyber Rodeo Science. I've talked about those things. Oh, here we go. Okay. Cumulative miles driven with FSC beta. So they actually are giving us a chart here. I'm glad I didn't look over that. So 35 million miles driven on FSD beta, which I assume that Tesla is extrapolating that from when it's on actual autopilot, navigate on autopilot. They should be able to see when that flips over because it does differentiate right now. So yeah, very interesting chart. So I'm glad Tesla's sharing this. We get actually some data now. Hopefully they'll start eventually sharing a little bit more in terms of like usage rates and things like that. You know, percent of miles driven. Maybe we can even do a little bit of math on that with the combination of these couple of numbers. You know, 35 million cars, 35 million miles over 100,000 cars already gives us a good start. Okay, energy storage. So 1.1 gigawatt hours is a little bit lower than what I'd expected, but again, that's can be very lumpy as we can see in this chart here. Solar deployments, that's cumulative, looks like. Oh, this is solar deployment. Sorry about that. I thought that was energy storage, but yeah, so this is a record going back to 2017 for Tesla Solar. So exciting to see that growing again, as it's been, you know, flat or even declining for a big portion of the time since they acquired SolarCity. Superchargers continuing to grow. All right, energy storage up 11% year over year. Okay, process of ramping our dedicated Megapack factory. So that's going to be 40 gigawatt hours, which right now they're doing one a quarter. So setting up to 10x on energy storage deployments. Solar deployments up 25% year over year, strongest quarter in over 4 years. Import delays beyond our control. We have expanded our supplier base to enable growth in this business. Okay. Services and others return to positive gross margin. That's good. Used car business remains strong. Tesla owned collision centers, yeah, all that's increasing. Okay. I didn't see the services margin yet, but I think I had expected a 1.5% margin there. That had dipped back to negative profitability in Q1, so good to see that return. All right, and then the outlook. So we plan to grow our manufacturing capacity as possible, quickly as possible. Expect to achieve a 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. The rate will depend on, yeah, all that stuff. So they're really not saying if they're going to hit that this year. They'll probably talk a little bit more about that on the call. Sufficient liquidity to fund their product ramp. I think we know that. I mean, they're sitting on, what, $20 billion in cash now? We have continued to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing operations over time. Okay. Yeah. All right, so all kind of, you know, the same stuff that we've heard Tesla talk about before. 2 million vehicles, talked about that yesterday. General Assembly in Berlin. Model Y paint shop in Berlin. The solar panels on the roof in Texas coming along well. If you've been following any of the drone footage, you've seen those. But Tesla, especially being right by the Austin airport, definitely a win to get some attention on that. Giga Texas body shop, Giga Shanghai exterior. So fun to see this developing after each quarter. A nice shot of that. Go back 2 years and look at what this looked like. Shanghai General Assembly. All right, so this is the Tesla Vision stuff that they were talking about. Basically predicting a crash ahead of time and using that to adjust the seatbelt. Shareholder meeting. Hopefully a lot of people will be attending that. And then we got some nice charts as we do every quarter. All right, so we're getting into the detailed financials here. So let's take a look at how these are shaking out. I guess the kind of the big thing that I'm curious about is how the Bitcoin situation is influencing these numbers. It might be a little bit tricky to suss out from this, but we'll try to do our best. And then obviously the automotive gross margin X credits is going to be key to watch too. Before we flip over to Excel, let's just see what the stock is doing. It did decline a little bit, not super surprising as people digest like the huge beat being driven by Bitcoin as, or, you know, I guess the reduction in Bitcoin. Yeah, let's get into the financials here because it's a little bit tricky to figure out with all these strange factors going on. So let me flip over to Excel, and this is probably the most boring part of this, but you guys are just gonna have to bear with me as I hunt and poke around for some numbers and try to get this all filled in. All right, so total automotive revenue. Well, let's just get the deliveries in here first. So 254,695. So again, no change from what Tesla had previously said. Then we've got automotive revenues of 14,602. So I was low by 200 million there, roughly 180 million, of which regulatory credits, that's 344 million. Energy sales were 866. Kudos to the analysts on that one. I was a little bit low. And then services and others, kudos to me, and also were a little bit low. All right, so it shaked out, you know, 300 million higher, most of that coming from automotive revenue. Let's look at profitability here. So cost of sales, we're at 10,521. And then we've got 769. So really nice profitability here for energy. That's definitely actually contributing significantly to the beat. So 769 on that. So almost $100 million in profit in energy. Then services and others is 1410. So between energy and services and others, you're actually getting $150 million of profit being added, which look at these last quarters. You know, last Q1, you lost 80 million in those two lines. Q2, you're gaining 150 million. So that's a $225 million swing just on energy and services. So it's actually pretty significant. All right, so my gross profit was a little bit high, which auto gross profit definitely coming in lower. Ooh, analysts were right on. So very interesting here. Mixed feelings. Average selling price being higher means that there is, so what I'm talking about here, automotive revenue beating means that average selling prices came in higher than what I'd expected. If average selling prices come in higher than what I expect, that means there's more room for Tesla to have between their costs and their top line sales, which should be a good thing for gross margins. However, even with a higher average selling price than what I'd forecast, automotive profit coming in lower, significantly lower, means that the margins were significantly worse despite that. So I'm not going to go as far as saying that that's concerning. It's really just probably a matter of what's going on in Berlin and Texas and how those costs are hitting the books. So it's not something I'm going to overreact to by any means, but certainly I was hoping for a better number, especially if you would have told me that the ASPs were going to be this high. So working to offset that a bit is the energy generation and services, or energy profit and services. So a little bit disappointing in terms of where my expectations were for the gross margins. You can see I was 290 basis points high. Again, kudos to the analyst consensus, just nailing it right on for both automotive gross margin and automotive gross margin X credits. this is not really a usual thing, but got to give credit where credit is due on that one. Okay, so operating expenses. Again, this one is extremely interesting because they were quite low. We've got a huge reduction in R&D. So I'm guessing what's happening here, maybe Tesla will talk about this on the call, but I'm guessing what's happening is that some of the costs that I would have had falling into the R&D bucket are falling into the automotive costs bucket. So we're, you know, $200 million lower on R&D than what I expected, but about $400 million higher on automotive costs than what I expected. So those two wash out to an extent, not entirely, but I think that's probably a factor that's driving this here. So you can see I was 26% too high on my R&D forecast. And, you know, this is a significant drop from what we had seen in Q4 and Q1, which is surprising. I don't know that we would have ever seen a drop this significant in the R&D line. We can obviously go back and look at a little bit more history, but definitely surprising on that. All right, SG&A, 961, so pretty close to last quarter into my forecast. I was, you know, 20 million, 25 million high on that. And then restructuring and other, as we mentioned in the notes, this is going to be the big difference. Tesla marking $142 million cost there. And Bitcoin impairment, they said that they had. I don't see that has been listed anywhere in terms of the actual amount. So how much of this is restructuring? How much of this is Bitcoin impairment? TBD on that, I guess. We'll poke through the letter here in a second to see if we can find that. All right, so that matches our operating expenses of about $1.8 billion. So obviously, probably the big discrepancy here with my forecast, $600 million higher, you know, $500 million of that coming from, I guess $400 million coming from restructuring, $200 million coming from R&D. So that left Tesla with a 14.6 operating margin versus my 12.5% forecast, but it's not something that I would necessarily be super excited about, because again, if you'd stripped out these costs, my forecast for operating margins would have been higher than what Tesla came in at. It's really just that line that's affecting that, which that's going to carry through here too. Not to say that reductions in OPEX aren't good, like that obviously helps too, but those are going to be less significant going forward in terms of the total cost structure of the business than the cost of producing vehicles. So that's why I care a little bit more about margins on the vehicles than I do about controlling OPEX at this stage, if that makes sense. All right, let's round this out. Looking at EBITDA, Tesla, let's see, can I find that in the letter. So adjusted EBITDA was $3.8 billion almost. Stock-based compensation. Looks like that was 361. It's pretty close to what I'd expected. CEO compensation, I don't know if Tesla called that out, so I'm going to assume that's zero for now. We might have to wait until the 10Q to get that. Normally Tesla would mention in the letter, but I didn't see it. And then we've got GAAP net income. Of 22.59. So again, higher than what I'd expected, but you know, Bitcoin impairment, take that out, and that ends up being most of it. Okay, EPS, non-GAAP. Ooh, and then we'll get a calculate our price earnings ratio here too. So 22.59, 26.20. All right, EPS. So we're at $1.95 GAAP. And let's see, 227 non-GAAP. So analyst low by 50 cents, I was low by 41 cents. Yeah, an interesting mix of things going on this quarter. It's hard to piece this together. Hopefully Tesla did share that Bitcoin impairment figure. That will help us figure it out. Because what could have happened is Tesla could have sold early in the quarter and actually recognized some gain on it, but they say that they had an impairment, so it's really a mystery at this point. Free cash flow. And again, the earnings call will be in about 1 hour, and you can find the link for that down in the description if you want to follow along with the earnings call. All right, so free cash flow is $621 million. We're at 106 here, and I don't know, 11 something there. Okay. Tesla did note that they had the foreign exchange impact too, so that might be impacting gross margins a decent amount as well. Sometimes it looks like these things are, you know, one way, and then we'll get some information on the call from Zach that will just make it look completely different than what we kind of see in these numbers. So we'll obviously have to wait for that. But let's scan through the letter here one more time just to see if we can find anything more about what's going on with Bitcoin. I'm sure Gary Black is rejoicing on Twitter about the Bitcoin thing. So they talk about, yeah, they only mentioned it here twice. They mentioned that it was a negative impact. We don't know how much. And they've converted approximately 75% to fiat currency. So it sounds to me like Tesla probably sold Bitcoin kind of at the low. Maybe not necessarily the very bottom, but it's looking like there was at least some impairments when they sold. Maybe they sold around 20, you know. Oh, yeah, I'd have to do some math on that, so I won't bother you guys with trying to do that on the live stream. But until we kind of figure that out, it's a little bit tough to assess. But I would say the main thing, exciting on ASPs, exciting on OpEx control, not exciting on automotive gross margin. So, you know, we're just going to have to see what they say on that on the call to understand what that looks like going forward. Let me flip back to Excel so we can just kind of look at the progression of that. All right, so we're looking at this line here. I'll zoom in. So, I mean, Q1 had its own share of challenges too, and Tesla was still able to post a 30% gross margin, even though they were ramping up Berlin. So it's definitely, you know, a little bit surprising to me to see this drop down, especially with those higher average selling prices. I don't want to be repetitive here, but we'll see what Zach says on the call. The biggest thing is how much of this is driven by cost increases to Tesla that are not going to be able to be worked through scaling or through not having shutdowns, and how much of it is attributed to shutdowns in Shanghai, stopping and starting. Obviously, that adds operational costs. We have extra costs there probably too from the whole closed loop system where Tesla don't keep, you know, have workers on site. There's probably added expense from those things. So how much of it is driven from those, and then the ramps of Berlin and Texas? How much of it is actually driven from things that are hitting Tesla from a battery cost perspective, logistics cost perspective, that might continue to persist later on? So it'll be very interesting to, you know, we don't know that right now. Hopefully we get more clarity on that on the call. If I had an opportunity to ask a question on the call, that would definitely be the question that I would be asking, because that gives us the most insight into what's going to happen the rest of the year, aside from just obviously production. So yeah, mixed report here. You know, the bottom line, it looks good. The top line looks good. So you take it as a beat. But there are definitely some things in here that are, you know, a little bit lower than what I had hoped for, within the margins, which you guys know that's the most important thing to me. So, especially in a quarter like this. So we'll see what the stock's doing now, and then we'll probably wrap this one up. I did see, I guess we've got a little bit of time here, so I'll go back and try and get to some of the questions that I'm sure have popped up. Yeah, still stock's up 2%. Definitely shouldn't feel too bad about that. We're still going to be underperforming the NASDAQ for the week, but, you know, with margins coming in line with analyst expectations, it's tough to be too disappointed in that reaction. All right, so what was I going to do here? Questions. All right, first off, thanks to those that have joined the stream. We're going to calculate the PE ratio. Thanks for the reminder on that. So let's see. We're at $2.95 last. There we go. All right, we are at $8.30 gap earnings per share. So $7.50, I'll say $7.55 is our share price, $8.33. We are at a price to earnings ratio of 91 right now versus what you're going to see online would be 100. So we're dropping a little bit, but obviously would be dropping a lot more if this were a normal quarter where Tesla would be printing probably $3 in earnings per share. If we just look at the last two quarters and annualize those, which again isn't the best way because obviously some impacts here in Q2, we would be looking at 481 over the last couple of quarters. So 962, 755. We'd be at about a 78 earnings per share if we annualize the first half of this year, which obviously would be extremely conservative for the second half, which Tesla did say in the letter that they are planning to make it a record second half of the year, which again, it should be. It should be by a lot. But at least it's good to see them talk about that. Hopefully some more color on that on the call as well. All right, now let me get back to some of these questions here. And again, if you are just tuning in, I will add time to this timestamps this later, but you can go back and kind of see. So Werner here saying, search for digital assets on balance sheet, $936 million. All right, let me go back to the letter. Yeah, bear with me because this part's going to be, not that these are always the smoothest anyway, but as I poke through chat here, it's going to be a little bit choppy. All right, so digital assets. Okay, so we're going from the carrying value. So this is the carrying value, right? Which means that at Bitcoin's price, low price from the previous quarter, this is where, I'm not sure why it would have increased there. That's kind of, oh, maybe Doge. Interesting. So Bitcoin would have been at, you know, 1.26 billion. And what I was expecting it to come down to was 700 some million. I guess let's just do the math specifically here. So I was expecting this line to be 738 or 783 million. Because that's what it would have been had Tesla kept their Bitcoin. And instead it's, you know, 218. So let's see, 218 divided by, I think it was like 18. Hold on, let me see if I can do this math here. Again, this is not going to be smooth, but we've got some time till the call, so you guys can watch me do math. All right, so 1260. Let's see. All right, so I think what I was estimating is around 18.7 for the price of Bitcoin at the low. So if you have 218 million, 700. So Tesla should have around 11,000 Bitcoin left, 11,600-ish. Very rough number, or let's say 11.7. Something, yeah, 11.6 probably. And before they had just below 42,000. So, I mean, yeah, they said sold 75%, so that makes sense. I guess I don't know why we're doing that. I'm just trying to figure out if there's any way for us to figure out what the impairment would have been. Because the impairment's not, obviously, it's not this whole amount because Tesla sold some. And the impairment's only going to be, like, they're going to recognize a loss from some that they sold if they sold below what the carrying value was before. That would be, I don't know if that would even be recognized in, yeah, that would be recognized in the restructuring another line. So it could be either a gain or a loss there. And then you have the impairment following that. So yeah, without any more information, I don't know that we can really figure this out. It's frustrating that Tesla didn't, I mean, maybe there's more information hidden in here, but oh, okay. So proceeds from sales of digital assets, 936. That's what he was telling me to look at. Sorry about that. All right, so 936, and then we had 1260 before, so 1260 minus 936. I just was assuming that was the difference. So that would have given us 324 million, but we're at 218 million. So 324 minus 218. I think the Bitcoin impairment was 106 million. Let me know in the chat if you think that's right. But that would make sense. I was expecting like a $50 million hit from other restructuring. What we could also do here is, let's see. So 900 minus, I know this is like not at all interesting. 11, 600. All right, so I think they sold around 30,300 Bitcoin. And if that was 936 million, 30,300. I don't know if that's right. We're going to take a venture over to Google here and see what the Bitcoin prices were throughout the quarter, because I think they might have sold it at like 30,000. So Q1 here, interesting. Tesla might have sold it back in May. So what I'm doing, the math that I'm doing is I'm just saying, okay, Tesla, previously they had just below 42,000 Bitcoin. So I'm saying, okay, they had 42,000, you know, 41,900 Bitcoin before. So they sold 75% of that. roughly, that ends up being, you know, 31,500, which means that's the number of Bitcoin that they would have sold. I calculated it a different way based on some other more specific math, and that got me to like 30,000 Bitcoin, which if they're selling for $936 million, I think that would mean that they sold it at $30,000. So I don't remember, let's see, what their carrying value would have been before. Those tricky. I think they sold it at exactly their carrying value. I bet they had a stop loss on that. Very interesting stuff. Probably not as fascinating to watch, but so what I'm doing is here, I'm just saying, okay, they had this amount in Bitcoin before, 1.26 billion. They had just below 42,000 Bitcoin. So if you take, you know, 1.26 billion divided by 41,900, you're at about 30,000 as the carrying value of Bitcoin. And let's just make sure that that makes sense. Yeah. Because the carrying value is the low, right? So they would have marked it down back in July, Q2 21, which we can see on the earnings report here. That in the second, third quarter, that's when it hit that, which, you know, would have been right around here because this would be Q3. So makes sense. So their carrying value was around 30,000 per Bitcoin. They ended up selling their Bitcoin at about $30,000. They sold two thirds or three fourths of it at basically the carrying value that they were at. And that earned them $936 million. But probably did not actually impact the financials at all because it was at that carrying value. So that's probably why we're not seeing it come in anywhere else. It would have gone on that restructuring line. But then the carrying value would have been 11,600 times like 18,650 or something. It would have been, yeah, that's like right on. Okay. 30,000. So this would have been 340, 350 million or so. And 350, this is probably just the same math I did before. Yeah. So I'm thinking the impairment here was probably somewhere around 120 million, somewhere between 100 and 130. So let's just say 115. Let's just go ahead and put that into the spreadsheet here just for completeness sake. Let me flip back over. Thanks for bearing with me through figuring this out. Hopefully that gave some insight into how to do that, if nothing else. So we'll say 115. Obviously, we can get a more precise number in there some other time. But then the restructuring, probably another 30 million or so on top of that. So a little bit less than what I'd expect for that. So if you were to take that out, this is more what we'd be looking at without Bitcoin included. We'd be somewhere around a 15% operating margin. And let's say, so that's what I would have been expecting without Bitcoin. So it's a little bit lower, even though these costs are, you know, $200 million difference. I was $200 million high, basically in R&D. And the reason my operating margin is still higher, even though I have these way higher operating expenses, is because I had gross margin higher, because I had automotive gross profit higher, because I had automotive gross margin X credits higher. So hopefully that kind of makes sense how it's all flowing through. Like, I was lower on average selling prices, therefore lower on revenue, but I was too high on gross profit ability, so too low on costs. And that's getting me to a higher gross profit than what Tesla actually showed. We come down here, you can see that on the automotive gross margin X credit line. Tesla also getting some benefit out of these services and others and energy businesses that I did not forecast for, which is offsetting a little bit of the profit discrepancy from auto. Total mixing out at 25% versus 26.6%. So these are actually pretty clean numbers. Like, we don't have to worry about any of the Bitcoin stuff there. That's all very clean, except for foreign exchange. Who knows what the impact of that was. But then when we come down here, even though I was higher on gross margins, Tesla came in quite a bit lower on OpEx, excluding all these other things. And yeah, that's kind of how that washed out. So if, or let's see, maybe I did that just, okay, no, I subtracted that. So this isn't set up to adjust my earnings per share expectations here, but you know, you could add, let's see, 400 million, 380 million to my profit here. So just super, super rough calculation, but that would have probably added like 35 cents to my earnings per share expectation. So I would have been at, if I had known the Bitcoin impairment coming in, my numbers would have put this at roughly 221 versus Tesla coming in at 227. So even though quite a bit off on a lot of different things, at the bottom line, it, you know, kind of all washes out, which you can kind of tell just from these two lines here. Not trying to say that that makes it a good forecast or anything like that. I actually think it's not really a very good forecast just because of this number. Like, these are so far off. But again, hopefully that kind of just completes the thought process of how this all kind of comes together. And this is, again, why we kind of do this, so we can understand all the intricacies here and how they all connect. All right. So now let me go back to the questions. See if anyone's still actually watching this. Thanks for that, Verna, though. Really appreciate that. All right. I'm just going to try to poke through and find any. I'll probably miss some, but Steve, thank you. Really appreciate that. Trying to look for some questions here. Since that was obviously a very helpful question or note. Thank you, Tiger with two eyes. It's really Tesla that rocks your world. I'm just here to like facilitate that. Steven saying, not boring, Rob. That was a while ago, though. He may have changed his opinion on that. Tim, thank you. Appreciate that. Karthik, thank you. John, as always, thank you. Are you concerned about the revenue miss? Tesla actually beat on revenues, so no. And I think I already talked a little bit about the gross margin. It's not something I would call concerning, but it is something that I want more information on, and hopefully we'll get that in the call in, you know, 45 minutes or so. Thank you, Jack. Thomas, thank you. John, thank you. Vincent, thank you. All right, we're getting kind of back there, so I want to get to some of the more recent stuff. And I'm so sorry if I missed any of the super chats. I'll try to go back and look at those afterward and just address those in the comments for anyone that I missed on those. But I just want to get to those more recent stuff here. Good call here from Pat. So he said on May 17th, Elon tweeted that Tesla has not sold any Bitcoin. Great, Elon. Thanks. They must have sold right after that. So May 17th. So yeah, I mean, interesting. That would maybe imply that they didn't have a stop loss on because it did hit below that before May 17th. But sometime between May 17th and June 10th, that's when Tesla would have sold. So not super long after that tweet, like less than within the following 3 or 4 weeks after Elon had tweeted that, they did end up selling. Super. Thanks, Lily. Sorry, I'm just trying to read through here. The system is super set up, or super poorly set up for getting these super chats. I have to just scroll through everything. All right, so again, I'm sorry if I miss any of these. We do kind of have to wrap it up here, though, because Steven responded. Have some self-respect. Yeah, sometimes I tend to be a little bit self-deprecating. It's my Midwestern in me. Ooh, this is going to be a struggle for me to pronounce, but thank you, Algamantis. Really appreciate that. Definitely means a lot. You guys are super supportive. I do really appreciate that. And again, like I've said a million times, you know, the support on Patreon, the support here on Super Chats and things like that, like that's why Tesla Daily has become a thing and is still a thing. I wouldn't be able to do it, you know, without that. So I do really appreciate that. Again, I'm sorry if I missed any. I'll try to come back and address those in the comments later on, but I do have to start setting up for the earnings call live stream. So again, the link for that is down in the description. Again, thanks for joining me. I know this was a long episode to cover this stuff, but definitely a little bit of intricacies and confusion within this report. So thanks for bearing with me as we kind of sat through that and worked through that together. But yeah, that'll wrap it up for this episode. Again, join that earnings call and we'll see you again here in a little bit. Thank you.